Hello and welcome to The Atypical Podcast from theatypicallife.com. I am Matt Mooney.
And I'm Jenny Mooney.
We'll grab another donut because we're getting started.
Unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall rest on.
Well, hey, Jenny, did you notice that music there that I played? It's not the normal piano ditty.
I liked it, Matt.
All you atypicalers out there, that was a little beat there dropped by our friend Jordan Hurst. He has a 5-song album coming out called I, Renee. You can order the album. We'll have all this information, guys, at theatypicallife.com in our show notes and links. But pre-orders start on June 23rd. And he releases this album on July 14th. We're really excited about it. We are going to play one song off of this 5-song album for the next 5 podcasts. So this song is the number one song, God Became King. And did you hear it, Jenny?
Yeah, I like it a lot. It makes me very curious about the other songs. It's a little different sound. Super cool.
Hey, Jenny, we are recording this podcast. This is what I call a little after the kids go down podcast. We've got a
is that
little
the official name after the kids go down podcast. Is that what's
a,
like
that's a hashtag?
Hashtag, yeah.
Relevant with the kiddos. I'm really relevant.
Yeah, everyone loves the after the kids go down. Wait, hashtag after the kids go down atypical podcast.
You know, Jenny, we've got our adult beverages here. We're sponsored by Two Hearted Ale from Bell's Brewery in Comstock, Michigan.
Yep.
One of our favorites. And so we've popped the tops on those guys, and we are sitting in our little, it's kind of exciting because we're in the new hizzy.
We're in the
for shizzy my
we're
nizzy.
We're in the new house. We've been here. We talked about that, I think, on the other podcast. But when we set up the master bedroom in our other house, was we didn't go in there very often. It was really small. It was the only one upstairs. It was wonderful. It's perfect. Nothing wrong with it. But as we got to like plan through and think through this space, one of the things we thought about was as the kids get older for the master to be sort of like a retreat. So there's a little sitting area and we have the podcast set up in here.
Look at us. Our dreams are coming true. So here we are. We've popped the tops on the Two Hearted Ale. We're recording the hashtag after the kids go down. And Jenny, let's just talk about it because this is a night where the kids are going down. Anders had a baseball game. So I just need to let me catch everybody up and you jump in. You'll know.
I don't know if I can jump in. You're a little bit more level headed in storytelling.
You'll know when to jump in. But basically we have the local 7-year-old, that's right, 7-year-old baseball tournament going on. They won 2 nights ago, they advanced, they got tonight, playing the number one team. And lo and behold, parents out there, if you are a parent of a child, look yourself. Stop the car if you're driving.
Okay. What else did they do?
Sit down if you're standing.
Okay.
If you're standing, go ahead and stay standing.
Okay.
Or no, wait. If you're standing, sit down. But if you're sitting down, stand up. But nonetheless, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror at yourself and say, I'm not going to be an asshole.
Oh.
Now, this is important because... We were at a game, no joke, Jenny, get focused here. I'm sorry, I let out a little something.
It's fine.
Hashtag the kids are in bed.
Well, look, also, you tell the kids, sometimes certain language is necessary.
Okay, let's talk about it.
To convey ideas.
We do not teach our kids, no, don't cuss. No, we don't say that word.
That's just bad.
Now, there's a couple choice words. We don't take God's name in vain. We show them. You know, that's in the Ten Commandments. But there's some other words we kind of steer away from. But for the most part, we say those are strong words reserved for specific times. There's times when those words are appropriate. Most of the time, they're totally inappropriate. We should not say those words. But sometimes, you know, if you're about to get hit by another car and you drop a little bomb, that's probably what that word was made for. Strong word.
Strong word for strong times.
So I used a strong word for strong times. Hashtag hopefully the kids are in bed. But here's the deal, parents. We were at the game. Set the stage. We were at the game. Jenny, jump in here and help me. Because honestly,
I'm going to try.
I kind of missed the, which is surprising. I helped coach the team, but somehow I missed a little something. But we were playing the number one team. It was a little intense from the get-go. The other coach is a parent and a coach, and apparently he's the commissioner of the whole league, which...
We don't know about that.
I got verification on that. Oh. So I do know.
I was going to say it couldn't be confirmed or denied, but you're confirming.
I don't come to the podcast willy-nilly like you do, Jenny.
Oh, you're ready.
I research. Okay, I confirm my facts. This is not fake news. This is not fake. This is real news. Hey, Trump, tune in, buddy, because this is real news. All right? Now... You never know where. See, this is why we probably shouldn't record at night.
No, because I get it just more gets truthy. Crazy.
I get more truthy than I was during the day.
I love it. I like recording at night better.
Hashtag lots more bleeps. Now, here we go. Because something happened by way of the game and a play where it was debated on whether the player was out or not. I don't even know what happened. However, it resulted in the... So what you got to know about this league, first of all, to even back up, the coach sets the pitching machine. So it's not the spinning wheels pitching machine. It's like a little mechanical arm pitching machine. He sets the pitching machine and pitch. So when I say he's like, it's not like the fans off to the side, like the entire game stops. And this moron is yelling at multiple people. He chooses one dad who he really had no deal. Then he starts yelling at him, and he acts like he's going to get him kicked out because I think he's the big commish. Like, I guess all of that authority of being the 7-year-old commissioner went to his head. Barney Fife syndrome here.
Well, all the parents were kind of just saying, because he was all upset and the game has stopped because you can't go till he, you know, clicks the machine and makes the ball. So a lot of parents are kind of saying, pitch the ball.
Come on, let's go.
The dad of the catcher, no. The dad, yep. Is that right?
Yep.
The dad of the catcher is standing closest to home plate. So he's most in the line of the coach
that's pitching.
You know, machine, and he's upset. And I think he was just the one that he saw. A lot of people were saying,
Come on, get on with it. Stops pitching, starts yelling at him, to which then he ends up yelling at a different man, one of the other coaches, to which now it has gotten super intense. Like, the other fields of parents are now all turning around
and coming and looking,
craning their neck
at
this idiot.
I'm kind of laughing, actually. I'm awkwardly laughing because I'm so nervous.
Which is really, really funny. I actually want to know what your feelings were, Jenny, because you usually want to just absolutely die. And I'm usually like, in fact, I think I said, why couldn't every game be like this? This is awesome.
You love it. You love the drama and the excitement. And I actually, most of the time, the drama and excitement makes me real nervous. But this was so, it felt like I was watching TMZ or something. You know, like, I was just watching this guy. I will just pause and say, laughing.
Everybody listen to what Jesus has done. Because there's nothing more that I want to do than demean this guy. And he certainly deserves it. Because he was a total beep hat. Now, however... You also watched him and felt sorry for him because you're like, what is going on in your life that you feel like you need to stop 7-year-old baseball players because you really thought he was out or safe?
Well, and here's the thing, not to bring it something kind of like that we're laughing and like the shocking story to kind of get a little bit more serious.
Well, that's what we do, Jen.
But it's what we do sometimes. We have you laughing. It's what I do sometimes.
We have you laughing 1 minute at the dorky coach commish. And then we take it deep dive.
Well, this is always about that. And we have said that since early on in our grief process after we lost Elliot, and we at times would be upset with each other, and we would realize that like we weren't really upset with each other. We just had, you know, some pain that didn't know where to go other than to, and I don't know what's going on in this guy's life, but I was like laughing. And then later in the last few hours since the game, I'm sort of like, a little sad that something's going on in that makes him just lash out.
And we haven't even finished the story yet, but it basically ends with like he walks over, pretends like he's going to get somebody thrown out. Of course, nobody moves at his beck and call because everybody's like,
"What?"
I mean, even the other team's kind of looking at him like, "Well, I think they're embarrassed by their own coach."
Well, they probably experienced that all season, so I think they kind of.
He was a little intense from the get go, but he got a little out of hand. He pulled it back together. We all shook hands at the end.
At the end,
it was a great game. They won by one run. They to who? I don't
know. I think our coaches said he apologized to them.
Well, I'm one of our coaches, and he, I mean, he said sorry.
I mean, you are, but the other two that were out there with him.
The real coaches?
Yeah.
That hurts a little.
Sorry.
That hurts a little.
I mean, the two that were out there when he.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That stung. But here's the deal. We have watched, we have three kiddos. Our oldest has disabilities. She's not playing sports, although she does play Miracle League sometimes, which is awesome. But our 8-year-old softball daughter and our 7-year-old baseball son, like, we've played soccer and basketball, but I feel like baseball/softball really brings out the crazy. It just brings it out all
is
the more.
Is it because the game is slower?
I don't know.
For some reason, there's
your
something
kid
in the
is
psych.
More singled out. Like,
maybe
your kid is up or your kid is safe or out. I don't know.
I don't know.
But it brings
it's
up the crazy.
Man.
And we watched it. I think we've talked about this before, Jenny. But there's another parent story where I literally have told you, like, if that wasn't a woman, I would have talked to her by now. But it is a woman, and so you have to talk to her. So nobody's going to talk to her. But I don't feel appropriate talking to her. But she just kind of demeans her daughter, who is on the field, softball field. It's 8-year-old girls. There's no all-stars out there, Jen. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I mean, that's what's interesting about it is it's not like no one's really...
Nobody's heads and tails much better than her daughter.
They're all just kind of learning the game.
But she's on her daughter like white on rice, like a rat on a Cheeto. She's on her. Like if she's got a bat, she's yelling at her. If she's in the field making a play, she's yelling at her. Not in an encouraging way. I'm not afraid to yell at these guys.
Well,
but this is like awkwardly stand out. And it just makes you like... why is it that parents think it's okay to demean their kids in front of the entire stands? And it leads us to our theme. Jenny, I don't know if you knew this, but I'm about to just drop it like it's hot on you.
Okay, let's hear it.
This is a themed podcast, and we are going to talk about this. This is a great segue. But, you know, getting up to bat, being singled out as a kid, being in the field, making a mistake, dropping a ball, these are vulnerable situation. Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding.
And so the theme of this podcast is vulnerability, but these are vulnerable situations. And I feel like this particular parent this season, like, sees her kid in a vulnerable situation and just makes it worse.
Well, and you had great insight at one point because
of course I did. What was it?
It was something about the way that you felt like maybe the mom felt that you projected that the way she was feeling, she projected onto her kid. Like she felt embarrassed or something. Remember?
I remember saying, like, you can see that this mom is embarrassed by her daughter not being able to swing a bat and hit a softball. Like,
here's the thing.
Literally
she's
embarrassed,
like,
by it.
Like you said, it's not like all the other girls are.
Are just hitting it.
Kind of on even ground.
Yeah,
there.
We're all striking out. We're all dropping it. We're all not knowing, but there's one parent yelling at her daughter as though everybody else isn't doing the same thing. And so we'll move on from our issues in baseball and softball to our theme today, which is vulnerability. And so, Jenny, this last week, believe it or not, I did got to do a fun thing.
Exactly. Now, as y'all might know, this coming Sunday is a big day.
It's a big day. Tell us about it.
It's a big day. It's Father's Day, and we love Father's Day. The hardest part about our Father's Day is that we have already given Matt his gift. He won't necessarily have things to open. And one of his gifts for Father's Day slash sort of like it's the year you're turning 40. So that was a big part of it.
Yeah, I think it was actually – so now you're trying to catch us in for Father's Day too because we talked about it being for my birthday.
I thought it was sort of for both.
No, I didn't. So you need to come through for Father's Day. Okay. You're not off the hook.
Ooh, good to know.
I need like a tie and socks and some boxers.
Good to know. But for a few years, Matt has looked at a writing workshop, and he has read about it or looked at it. In the last few years, I've said, you need to go. Oh, no.
No, I mean, I always wanted to go, but it never worked out schedule-wise. And this year, it did. And so I headed off to the Frederick Buechner Writer's Workshop at Princeton Seminary, which was really, really fun because I don't do things like that.
No.
So I go to conferences and I'm going to talk and they're on disability or they're on this or that or grief or loss. But I never just go as like, I'm going to this. It's multiple days. And what was really fun, there were a lot. I mean, I could talk about this workshop and what I enjoyed about it and different aspects about it and just the perspective that the faith perspective that it came from was from a mainline Presbyterian kind of perspective because of the Princeton Seminary. But I mean, there were all shapes and sizes there. I could talk about that all day. I could talk about the creative element, talk about the things that I liked. But really, the thing that I wanted to talk about tonight, although you can ask me any questions that you want to, Jenny, because again, I can talk about them all. One of the things, before I get there, one of the things that I really liked was just having time to myself.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they didn't pack
huge
this.
Huge part of it.
They did not pack this conference in. It was not like, guys, pause everything. We have bugs in our house.
We have gnats. And I have Googled how to get rid of them. They're like fruit fly gnat
not like,
things.
Not like five. Not like 10.
Like a lot. Oh, got he got one right then.
We have 49.
That wasn't even for dramatic effect. That was real, folks.
Oh, got it.
Totally did that.
Got it. Now, what was I talking about? It was so wonderful. But
you were saying they didn't, you know, a lot of conferences are super busy. And they're,
yeah.
And this is like they purposefully made it not super busy.
It was not super jam-packed. I did not have any friends or acquaintances at this conference. And so the vast majority of the people at it, which it was from like Tuesday to Friday. So it's right plum in the middle of the week in Princeton, on the campus of Princeton. But the majority of people there were older women. You know, not exclusively, but the majority.
Why is that? That's so interesting.
I think they have time. I think that a lot of women write.
Older, like retired age, 60s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Probably many from, I'm horrible with ages. I don't know. From 60 up. Yeah. And so there were, and Jenny, you know I did. I made friends with so many of them. I didn't talk to
them. Oh, gosh. You were their best friend, I bet.
I didn't talk to a guy one. I loved these
women. Were there guys there?
There were guys there.
You just mostly talked to the older
ones. But I mean, far and away, it was the women. And they, of course, they found me fascinating because I was one of the younger adults. So I was a sore thumb.
So give us, before we move on to vulnerability, give us your highlights of people you heard speak.
Well, first of all, one of the main draws for me were I got to hear Anne Lamott, who
call her Annie.
We both love particularly. Are we done? You done?
First name basis because I love her so much.
So I got to hear Anne Lamott was there for the first night. There was an author there named Diana Butler Bass, who I was not as familiar with, but has a very popular book out called Grounded. There was Sarah Bessie, which many people have probably heard of. I think you've heard of her. Jonathan Merritt, many people have heard of him. Those were kind of the younger types. And then there were more the author types. There was also Andrew Peterson, who's a musician that we enjoy and has written the kids series of books that we like. So there were a lot. I'm not even naming them all.
These are like uber creatives. It's not, they're writers. Like you take someone like Andrew Peterson, he's written a children's fiction series. And then he's an amazing musician where most of his songs are very poetic. And these are
yeah, it was very creative after creative after creative. It wasn't a whole lot of like, here's how to build your platform and publishing 101, which I don't care about that stuff anyway. There's a little bit of that. I mean, it's a writer's conference, so there's going to be some of that. But mainly it was creatives and faith and perspectives on that. I had the ability to walk around Princeton's downtown and have hours to myself. So the solitude aspect for me, the faith aspect, connecting and having time with Jesus and having these creative conversations where I just don't get to do that was super fun for me. But what I really wanted to talk about at this workshop, Jenny, was this one particular thing that I just walked away really interested in, and that was vulnerability. And for me, writing is the one thing that I'm kind of nerve, like if I write something, I really want you to like it.
Right. And there's just not many other areas in your life like that.
No, most areas in my life, I do to the best of my ability and I leave it behind. I don't really care what people think, say, do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability and that's all I can do.
Yeah.
But I have these little, I have all these emotions and all these feelings and I don't quite know what to do with myself. I have all these warm, fuzzy feelings when I read, I feel it's vulnerability. Like I feel that palpably when I write, when I want other people to like what I've written or affirm that, which is such a rare feeling for me. And so writing in and of itself brings me to a point of vulnerability that I don't experience in much. And so I was reminded of that, not because I wrote and shared anything with anybody there, but because there was this one night, and most people chose not to go to it. So there were probably 200 participants in this workshop. And most people don't go to this night. They use this night to like, hey, we're going to go out on the town. We're going to go to the bar. We're going to go to the restaurant. And of course, I didn't have any friends, but I would have gone back and watched the playoffs, which I would have been thrilled to do and wanted to do. Big part of me wanted to do that. But there was an open mic night. Now, most of these people they're at a writing workshop. They are writing and they're older. They're doing something that they haven't done. They've done something else with their entire life and they're older and they're beginning to pick up the pen or they're wanting to learn writing. That was the vast majority of these people. And so I just thought, like, I am totally going to go to this open mic night. And so I get there, I take my seat, and I just think it's funny how just the work of Jesus in my life, and I honestly think this is a lot from living in community with persons with disability.
Okay.
And it's a lot from what we learned by walking through Elliot's life. But, you know, growing up, and you know this about me, like, I have a sharp tongue.
Yep.
Quick wit, sharp tongue.
I mean, at any point, he could use his words in ways that people would be surprised about because he withholds most of the time.
Yeah, because I don't like to see people cry. Unless they're like this baseball coach. I've got the top 10 things, and we talked about a few of them. I won't repeat them on here.
They were pretty good.
Well, I did yell. Just going back real fast, because I don't know how we skipped over this. I did have one.
I
thought it was a pretty good little line.
No one really heard it but me. Oh, I think. Okay. I don't think it really people understood. Like, you couldn't clearly hear what you were saying, because everyone was kind of yelling different things.
Yeah, but there was this. Yeah, it kind of got a little quiet, and I yelled, "Pitch the ball, Trump."
I laughed hysterically. And no one else really, you know, either they didn't get it or they didn't understand, or maybe they thought you said chump. That kind of thing. But,
well, you just, when you see insecurity, that's the first thing I think of. And so I yelled, "Pitch the ball, Trump." So I went to this open mic night and I watched 65-year-old men get up to the mic. Here they are, they've lived most of their life and they are shaking to read off a page what they have written. I watched 62-year-old women get up there and almost not be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what a neat thing to watch these people. And here I am. I have moved from this person that's kind of honestly antagonistic and in my own quickness to grade others out of my own insecurity and my own baggage. And I'm well aware that that's what it comes from, by the way. I don't pride myself in my issues, but I got them and I own them. But I've moved to where I'm foregoing the playoffs. I am showing up at this mic night. I'm not reading my, there's never a, you know.
No, you're like, just there to observe. Now,
I'm
is
there
it?
To observe, but I am there to clap. Like, when anybody gets done, I'm going to clap for them. I'm going to hoop and holler for them. I'm going to tell them what a great job they did.
And did you do that?
I totally did that.
Good.
I actually That's recorded awesome. It. I recorded some of it and took some notes on it. And just like, I really enjoyed the night. And when people got done, like, I tried to make a point of like, great job, because it was just such a vulnerable thing. And I know you and I have talked quite a bit about vulnerability, and you've got a particular person that you kind of look to on this topic.
I do. As soon as Matt said we were going to talk about vulnerability, I was like, well, Brené, hello.
Brené, hello.
Another
hello,
person.
Hello, y'all. Meet Brené.
Another person that through reading their books, I feel like I'm on a first name basis with.
I just
call her Brené. But I discovered Brené by way of someone who suggested her to me in a harder time in life, back surgery, a few years ago. And
you know, back surgery is your basketball. I bring up basketball every time, and you will find your way to back surgery.
But back surgery is meaningful. See, this is meaningful.
Basketball is meaningful.
But she
My
is
jump shot's meaningful.
Brené, if you haven't heard of Brené, like...
Then just, where the heck are you?
For real. Come on.
If you haven't heard of Brené...
Go look up her TED Talk.
Okay? Get
she
out
has
of your closet.
TED Talks. That will give you the condensed version. But she researches shame and vulnerability
And she's a social worker and a researcher. And she jokes about when people, when she tells people, like, I research shame and vulnerability. And they're like, oh my goodness, like, that sounds terrible. But she's wonderful. And I really like her things. And she says in Daring Greatly, which is actually not her first book. It's the first book after her TED Talk. So most people think that it started there. But I would go back, if you're new to Brené.
But not the real fans.
And I would start with The Gifts of Imperfection.
Is that the first book?
Easy and amazing. No, I think she had one before that called I Thought It Was Just Me. But I would start with The Gifts of Imperfection. But she says, when discussing vulnerability, it is helpful to look at the definition of the word vulnerable. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word vulnerability is derived from the Latin word vulnerare, meaning to wound. The definition includes capable of being wounded and open to attack or damage. Webster's defines weakness as the inability to withstand attack or wounding. Just from a linguistic perspective, it's clear that these are very different concepts. And in fact, one could argue that weakness often stems from a lack of vulnerability. When we don't acknowledge how and where we're tender, we're more at risk of being hurt. So I think that people shy away from vulnerability because they think it's weakness. And she just makes a point to say it is actually not weakness. When you look at those people, Matt, that were getting up there, they were vulnerable because they were showing up, right? I mean, they were shaking, but they were doing it.
They were brave.
They were brave. Yeah. And so a lot of times people just... Not for others. We are able to, and Brené talks a lot about this, we're able to look at others and to see their courage. But when we do the same thing, we think it's weakness.
Well, get this, Jenny. Yeah. I wrote down a few questions, and one was this. You just asked it. Why is it that we hate vulnerability in ourselves but admire it in others?
So true. Like, it's
like,
so true.
There's no part of watching these guys get up and share that makes me want to be vulnerable. Like, there's those two things don't lead to one another. Why is it that we hate vulnerability in ourselves but admire in others? You got any wisdom for me on
that? Well, I mean, I think we think it's weakness. That's just exactly what I was saying. Like, we define it as weakness in ourselves, but we'll define it as vulnerability or bravery in others. And we just hold ourselves to a different standard.
Well, we had a little vulnerable moment today. Our daughter, our 8-year-old daughter, Hazel, who is so wonderful and tends to be a little bit more on the shy, reserved side. Yeah. And we love her for it. And we let her own that little shy spirit. And she's...
And real in her head. Shyness is not from a... You know, some kids are shy because they're genuinely scared of people. She is shy because she's thinking so much. She's in her head so much that she just... can barely talk, you know?
And so little Hazel gets in the chair at the little beauty shop, and she has decided she wants to cut her hair. She wants to donate it to Locks of Love. Gotta love her for that. And she gets it cut, and she doesn't quite know what she thinks about
it. I mean, it is one thing to talk about it for months and to say you want to donate it, and then to have that gal really chop it off. You know, it was
a vulnerable moment, and I don't want to make our kids object lessons too much, but it was fun to watch her. And by the end of the day, she was confident about it.
Yeah.
Her haircut is beautiful. That was never the issue. She's beautiful. It was just a vulnerable moment. Like, she doesn't like change. There it goes. She doesn't like it. And so
she doesn't like being the center of attention. And so it drew attention to
everybody's
going to
say, oh my gosh, because it was a drastic cut.
Yeah.
It was a drastic cut. And so... Well, Jenny, give us one more quote on vulnerability there from Brené.
Vulnerability, and I love this for the context of you talking about folks at open mic, you know. Vulnerability is the birthplace of love, belonging, joy, courage, empathy, and creativity. It is the source of hope, empathy, accountability, and authenticity. If we want greater clarity in our purpose or deeper and more meaningful spiritual lives, vulnerability is the path.
So, Jenny, you know me pretty well. Why is it that you think with me that writing is the thing that makes me feel vulnerable? Or do you have a story of vulnerability all your own? All of my stories with vulnerability, I think of our kids. Like, they're just tenderhearted and they're little and they're kids. Even the next door neighbor's kids. I feel like you see vulnerability in kids all the time if you just watch for it. And adults, we hide that a lot better.
And I don't know what my answer is necessarily with you, like super straightforward, but I do think that some people say, I don't care what people think. And they're saying that because they do care what people think.
Sure.
But like you, and I remember thinking this and being amazed at this so early on, like you really are just this person that's like your own person. Like you really, and sometimes that's awesome. And sometimes that's like, you know, not as awesome because you just go, I don't care what people think. You know, like you really don't care.
Let's delve into that.
No, let's not delve into that necessarily.
Let's talk about the not so awesome side.
No, come on. I'm just saying that as an example because it can sound like I'm just like stroking your ego saying,
I know, I'm kind of uncomfortable with this part of the podcast.
No, but I just think there's two sides of everything and you really do like are able to do and make decisions and go, I don't care what people think. But here is one area, you know, writing becomes this area where you're actually exposing a little bit more of yourself and not just like making these decisions about work or about, you know, in the past school or those kind of things. This is more like, here is my heart exposed. And not only that, but I'm telling it to you in a specific way. And so that just feels a lot more vulnerable. Also, to kind of change topics, when you said working with people with disability, I think the most beautiful and amazing thing that I see all the time with Lena, and, you know, those we've talked, we did a whole podcast on Lena. If you want to hear more about her story, you can go back and find that episode. Maybe we'll link to it in our show notes. But at theatypicallife.com.
At theatypicallife.com, show notes and links will be up for you.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, the first few years of Lena being home were pretty chaotic and wild. And it was hard to kind of like glean those lessons because...
Pretty chaotic and wild, huh?
But now I just feel like I will see her, and I've talked about this before, like I did a post on Instagram a while back because... it was raining and she was playing in the rain and she was like so overjoyed. And sometimes I can get hung up on, there are more moments where Lena is very vulnerable and showing her agitation and frustration than she necessarily is in showing her joy. So you can see those super clearly, but it was this moment of like, just kind of, she didn't withhold any joy, right? Like she has... No, she is. There's no pretense. She does not care at all what people think.
Just a quick update for those who may not know the story. But okay. Lena is our daughter with severe disability. She has autism and cerebral palsy, and that's who Jenny's talking about. Go ahead, Jen. Yep. I always like to give context.
So
what are you saying? I'm a little lost on what it is. It's because it's getting late now, Jen.
It's getting late. We're tired.
We're past our bedtime. Hashtag get in bed.
Hashtag the kids have gone. Put the kids to bed. I mean, after the kids to bed or whatever it is.
I'm pretty much through the two-hearted ale here. We're getting a little tired. But are you saying...
No.
What are you saying that you've learned from Lena by way of vulnerability?
Well, I think it's really clear to see that she is only who she is. She does not have the ability to withhold.
And so that makes her more vulnerable?
It's really clear to see that she's not trying to hide who she is when she's upset. But then it was really beautiful. This one day I saw her like laughing in the rain and it was clear like she's unable to withhold when she's experiencing joy too. And we all hold back. And I think vulnerability is the lack of holding back. You know, I mean, if you look at those people at open mic, they weren't holding back. They were like sharing parts of themselves and we're all just kind of scared to do that.
And I think Lena and so many of our friends, and we live in community with friends with disability. So many of our friends with disability, they do not have the ability to hide their shortcomings.
It's right there.
They can't hide. Here it is. It's on their sleeve. It's visible. Their weakest part of their life is visible to the entire world, whereas we spend so much energy hiding our weaknesses from the world. They do not get to do that. And there's such beauty in that vulnerability.
I love it when our friend, you know, we've talked to you guys before, the atypicalers out there, about Jay and Catherine Wolf, and they've been on our podcast before. And
we'll link to that on the show notes and links at theatypicallife.com.
So many things they're bringing up. But when they were in town and they were talking at a 99 Balloons event that they came in from California for, it was so beautiful. She pretty much said, and I won't do it as eloquently as she did, but she pretty much said she's so much like more free because she carries all of her weakness on the outside. And for so long she carried it on the inside, and now yeah. It's all exposed. And she said that's the freest, most freeing thing.
She said she was talking about her wheelchair, and she talked about how freeing her wheelchair was because she doesn't have to act like she's not broken anymore.
Yeah. You know, another friend of ours who had an accident, a sports accident, and is in a wheelchair. His name is Emeka, and he speaks at events and different things out
we
of Tulsa.
We should totally have Emeka on.
I would love to have Emeka on. You people would be blown away. He's
we
so
are going
to cool.
bring him on. It'll happen.
But he talks about the same thing. You know, he just says, this just I'm still who I am without this, you know, body to hide behind. It's like so cool to hear people talk about that.
Well, Jenny, I'm going to be vulnerable here, have a little vulnerable moment and okay. say, I think it's time to go to bed.
Okay.
Do you want to close us with one more quote on vulnerability before we head out of here and listen to a little more Jordan Hurst?
Brené says, to let ourselves sink into the joyful moments of our lives, even though we know that they are fleeting, even though the world tells us not to be too happy lest we invite disaster. That's an intense form of vulnerability.
Well, thank you very much. We hope you liked it. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you doing so. As always, you can find show notes and links to all the things that we discussed, and we discussed a lot of things. Where can they find it, Jen?
At www.theatypicallife.com.
You can go there. You could find it. You could find more information about Jordan Hurst and his upcoming release of his CD as well. So let's go out with a little bit of that music. There you go, Jordan. Play that stuff. TheAtypicalLife.com for show notes and links. As always, if you liked it, boy, howdy, this is your chance to hashtag take it viral.
Take it viral. Share that. The Atypical Podcast, you know?
Share that stuff. And if you did not like it, we want to hear from you. We've got a 1-800 number. If you could find it, please dial it. Lay out the things that we can do better. One by one in bullet form, if you would. One by one, and we'll get around to doing that someday. Have a good week. We love you. Tonight's podcast is brought to you by Two Hearted Ale, a little brewery there named Bell's in Comstock, Michigan. It's an American IPA. It's got a trout on the front of it. Hello and welcome to the atypicallife.com. The atypicallife.com. We've got bugs in this house and I'm gonna go nuts.